Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
With the Dolphins trade, it makes the Texans better this year, and the Dolphins get what they wanted because they weren't trying to win this year. They didn't care about winning this year. So it gives them more building blocks for the future. So in that regard, that trade is a win-win. But
absolutely,
there's no win-win in that Seahawks trade. There is a winner and a loser in that trade.
Period.
And honestly, even if the Seahawks don't extend Clowney, let's say that he just plays out this year for their $8 million, and then he goes his merry way. Was it a bad call?
No, it's still a win for them. They gave up nothing.
My biggest takeaway from the thing, I mean, obviously they suck on defense. I mean, Jalen Hurts did whatever he wanted, and he would have kept doing whatever he wanted all night. That wasn't going to change. Ran the ball well. The problem with them running the ball well was they ran the ball 42 times in a game that they were never within one score. Derek King's got to be better as a passer than he was last night, and Dana's got to be more comfortable with him as a passer than he was last night.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number three. Happy Labor Day, everybody. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. You can also get on the Twitch channel. Join the folks there. Get in on the chat. If it's good, we will we'll talk about it.
Can I give you a trend that I saw, an NFL week one betting trend that I saw today from a guy named John Ewing?
Okay. I like to call him Johnny Boy.
Okay. The Seahawks and the Eagles right now are tied as the biggest favorites in week one. 9.5 points. Seattle against the Bengals, Philly against the Redskins. Basically, there's a trend that the biggest favorites in week one have not done well. And last year, you remember the Saints were the biggest favorite week one at home.
And lost outright.
10-point favorites lost at home to the Buccaneers. The year before that, Steelers were a 10-point favorite in week one against the Browns, and they won by three. 2016, Seahawks, 10.5-point favorites, and they won 12-10 against the Dolphins. 2015, Patriots, -7.5, failed to cover against the Steelers. So, it's something that's happened over and over. Since 1993, the biggest week one favorite has gone 12-23 against the spread. That's 34%. Some years there were multiple teams that were tied, so that it takes into account all of them.
I'd be inclined to take the Bengals if I thought AJ Green was not going to be.
He's not going to play.
Yeah, he's not going to play.
But that's built into the line.
Yeah.
Since 2003, all favorites have a losing record against the spread in the first game of the season. Favorites of 7 or more points have gone 18-27 against the spread, 40%. So that include that the Eagles and Seahawks. That also adds in the Chargers against the Colts, a 7-point favorite.
Yep.
The Cowboys, 7-point favorites against the Giants. And the Saints, 7-point favorites against your Houston Texans. So those big favorites, 40% since 2003.
It kind of makes sense, though, because generally you get really inflated lines based on preseason projections. That's still a pretty alarming number. It should be closer to 50% in theory because it always should be close to 50%. That's the idea. So I want to tell the people that AJ had a great week on pregame. So if you're following along, you did well. And I'm now 6-0 on college. Two of them are free plays the first week. Mm-hmm. Gave those out for free. 4-0 this weekend. And then 1-0 on the CFL game, which I did not tell the wife what I did because her beloved Saskatchewan Roughriders were 6.5-point favorites at home.
You bet against them?
I bet against them. And Winnipeg scores with 3 minutes left to go up 17-16. And she doesn't know why I'm celebrating because there's like almost no way I fail to cover at that point. And she's like, what are you doing? I'm just like, no, I was looking at something on the computer. It was a horse race. Don't worry about it. But fortunately for me.
Betrayer.
Fortunately for me, Saskatchewan marched down the field and had a walk-off field goal to win the game. So she was happy. I was happy. It worked out.
Everybody's
great.
Happy.
Yeah.
So, you want to run through these week one lines?
Let's start with the Vikings. Well, let's start with the Thursday game where, sorry, I have to scroll back.
Are you pissed off that the Packers and Bears are playing on Thursday and not the.
I am. I don't get me started on that again.
You know who's probably not pissed off? The Patriots.
Yeah, they don't care, but I just think it's stupid. It's like, oh, it's a 100-year history. It's like, yeah, it's two teams that we see play twice every year, sometimes three times. Yeah, can't wait. Bears minus -3 against the Packers. And I know we've talked to Fezzik about this a lot. He's down on the Bears this year. I think the Packers, considering that their whole camp, no Aaron Rodgers, new coach, all this talk about how, not audibling, things like that. I think I might lean Packer here.
So here's why I lean Packer, because at my book currently, Bears are -3 at -120, and ooh, Packers are +3 at even money.
I like that.
Because I think that's the line's probably right on. To me, that even money is that that's will I lean to the Packers for that reason.
And I'll kind of keep an eye on it, because if it slides to 3.5, you won't get even money, but I'd feel a lot better. But it's a key number, though. It's right where it should be. So might not be messing with that one. All right, on to the Sunday games. Viking -4 at home against Falcon.
It's a tough one for me. I hate playing the Falcons on the road, but I hate it less when they're playing indoors.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't think the Falcons have a game outside until like week 10. It's some crazy run like that they just they're in a dome every week, which makes early on I think I'm going to be leaning Falcons, but this is a tough call. I like Minnesota too. I gun to head, I'd be on Falcons +4.
Osuna just blew another save. It's 2-2. Gave up a long ass home run. All right, one of the games you were talking about, Eagles -9.5 against the Redskins.
What's your feel on that Falcons Vikes?
I'm slight lean Falcons, because it is indoors, and I think I like the Vikings a lot this year. I think they, at some point this week, we'll do our predictions. I think that's your AFC or NFC North winner, but I like the Falcons a lot too. So I'm really interested in the over 47.5. How about that?
I like that too.
Yeah.
On the Eagles Redskins game, I'm interested in the under 46. I don't want to give 9.5 points. That just seems silly, but I also don't want to bet on a team that doesn't have a quarterback, and that's what I'd be doing with Washington.
Yeah, and really, without Trent Williams last year, that offensive line was terrible.
Yep.
They don't have Trent Williams this year.
Nope.
So I'm not in the habit of giving 9.5 points in an NFL game either. Jets -3 against the Bills.
Boy, everyone is hyped on Sam Darnold, aren't they?
Well, I think he's going to be good.
But I don't know that he's good right now. I don't know how good Buffalo is going to be. I don't think they'll be very good, but I don't think the Jets are very good.
I think they're going to be better than people think. I think Buffalo's like 8-8, 9-7 this year.
I'll take the points with the Bills.
Yeah, I think I will too. Ravens -6.5 at Dolphin.
God, don't make me take Dolphins. I can't. I won't do it. But I don't want the Ravens at -6.5. I don't feel good about that.
You don't trust Lamar Jackson.
I don't.
That's the problem.
Yet. Yeah.
Well,
look at that total. 37.5 in 2019, an NFL game with a 37.5 total.
But it's hard to know what the Dolphins are going to be. I mean, they sold off Kiko Alonso too, so it's not like, hey, you look at that team, you're like, man, they're trying to dump here. 49ers, Buccaneers, pick 'em.
Oh boy. I think I lean Tampa. I think the shine is off the Garoppolo thing. I think he's going to have to earn some of that back, which I think if you played this game before we saw what we saw in the preseason, you would have seen 49ers slight favorite.
Yeah.
I think now I've got to take Tampa at a pick.
And I kind of feel like Bruce Arians will get a lot more out of Jameis Winston.
I think so too.
And so I'm kind of with you on that. It's one of those hold your nose bets, but I think you're right. And I'm concerned about some of the stuff I've heard from Garoppolo. Like, he intentionally throws passes into traffic in the preseason to see if guys can make plays. It's like,
dude, he must be the Bill O'Brien of quarterbacks then.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he's got all these skins on the wall. He doesn't have to work on his stuff. He's got it figured out.
Chiefs minus 3.5 now at Jaguar.
Man, call me crazy. I like Kansas City there. I think Jacksonville's improved this year, but not improved to the point that I don't think Kansas City's as good as they were last year, but I still think Kansas City's got a little more separation than this on them.
Well, and Kansas City always starts fast. I like this team a lot. I'm kind of with you. I might be willing to give up the hook there, too. Titans plus 5.5 at Browns.
Gross.
It is gross. You know what? You're going to laugh at me here. I'd probably lean Titan. I think the whole Brown hype train is a little much.
For that reason, the only side you can play is Tennessee, in my opinion. But I don't want to be on it. So it's a for sure pass for me.
Ram minus 3 against Panther.
Doesn't that seem light?
It does seem light. And minus 3 is even money.
And Cam Newton is like still kind of banged up.
We don't know what he's going to be.
I think he's going to play, but we don't know how healthy he's going to be. And if he's not at 100%, minus 3 seems like a gift.
Give me Ram there.
Yeah.
I feel pretty good. At 50, over 50.5, too, I like.
Nowhere on Todd Gurley yet. I think you're going to see. I think you could see a nice showing from the Rams week one.
Lions minus 2.5 at Cardinals.
I'll take the Lions.
I love the Lions here. I think, you know, who knows what you're going to see out of the Cardinals as the season goes on.
I've got a feeling you're not going to see much good out of them.
Yeah, I think it's going to go awry for them. And while I don't think the Lions are that great, I think they go in there and covered the 2.5 easy. Seahawks Bengals, we talked about a little bit. I can't give 9.5.
I can't give 9.5 either. If I were forced into that game, I'd probably take a little piece of the over.
Yeah,
it's a low number relatively, and I know everybody thinks, oh, Seattle's not that good on defense. They're not what they've been. They're going to give up some points, but will Cincinnati be able to? I mean, will they be able to keep up their end of the deal? I don't know. Like you said, no A.J. Green.
Yeah. Chargers minus 7 against the Colts. Obviously, no Melvin Gordon there.
I kind of like the Colts at that number.
I kind of do, too. Not much of a home field advantage for the Chargers, so we can throw that out the window.
Yeah.
And I don't think this Colts team is garbage without Andrew Luck.
I don't either. I think Brissett's one of the better backup quarterbacks. The Chargers are good, don't get me wrong, but I don't think they're worlds better than the Colts. So I think 7, you give me a touchdown, I'm probably on the Colts.
Patriots minus 5.5 at home against Steeler.
Did you skip the Giants Cowboys in rotation order?
I did.
On purpose?
Never mind. No, I just skipped over it.
Okay.
Cowboys minus 7 against Giants.
See, I thought maybe it was off the board with you because the Zeke Elliott, if he plays or if he doesn't, I think is a big swing in what goes on in that game. I don't know if Zeke's going to play, but I don't want to give 7 points with the Cowboys, honestly.
I just don't trust the Giants enough. I'm not going to play this game. I'd probably lean Cowboys.
And hasn't Eli historically played pretty well in Cowboys Stadium? Yeah,
not the last couple of years.
Okay.
Because we all jumped on that, and then it hasn't been great the last couple of years. So I'll probably lean Cowboy, but there's no way I'm playing that game.
I'll be at that game.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It'll be fun. Patriots minus 5.5 against the Steelers.
I think I like the Patriots.
I do, too.
I think the Steelers, there's going to be some growing pains. And I think it'll be different not having Gronk there. But I think the Patriots getting Josh Gordon and Julian Edelman, who I don't think either one of them were expected to be ready to go week one. And now I think both of them are going to play week one.
Yeah.
I think Tom Brady's probably feeling pretty good.
The two Monday night games. You know what? I actually was thinking about going to that Colts-Chargers game because the wife's got to go to Los Angeles for a few days, so I was thinking about going out for the weekend and going to that game. But I just decided we're going to Los Angeles in 3 weeks. I don't really want to do it again. Plus, I'll have some time at home to sit and watch all the football. Saints minus 7 at Texans. Let's do last. Raiders pick 'em Broncos at Oakland.
Yeah, that opened Raiders minus 3, and it's gone to a pick, which is surprising because normally we see that Hard Knocks bump.
Yeah.
And it's not happening here.
I think people seeing Hard Knocks and going, oh, yeah, these guys aren't any good.
You know, so what this is saying is Denver is the better team. They're just playing at Oakland. I don't know if I don't know how I feel about that. I think the teams are about even. I don't think Denver's very good, to be honest. I think a lot of people are expecting more from Denver than I am. I like Flacco better than what they've had, but I don't think Flacco is going to be enough to get that team right. I don't know who I probably like Carr more than Flacco at this point.
I do think the Broncos are better on defense than the Raiders are, and he does have some targets to throw to. I think I'm going to leave Bronco here.
Okay.
I know it's a division game, and also, I don't know.
If I got the original plus three, I'd lean that way.
Yeah, I know. It's
it'll pick them. I think I might lean Raiders.
And we come back, we'll talk about Texans Saints. So,
all right, guys, I got to tell you about a new sponsor that's on board, CBDMD. And these guys are a trusted leader in the CBD industry. And we're talking about high quality stuff here. And I can tell you, I've tried it. It's fantastic. This is naturally sourced from hemp grown in the U.S. using organic farming methods. So it's made here in the USA. A third-party lab tested to ensure a clean, safe product. And there's a lot of athletes using CBD, specifically topicals, after a game or a tough workout as part of their recovery. Bubba Watson uses it. Daniel Cormier, Steve Smith, Kerry Walsh, Lolo Jones, and many, many more using CBDMD. And guys, I've been using this as well, and I've been using the CBD Freeze after my workouts, and I feel way better. I mean, it really does help with recovery. Raheel and I were talking about this, and it makes a massive difference. So they've made CBD affordable and accessible to everyone. So just give it a try. And here's the deal. To make it easier to see what CBD can do for you, CBDMD is offering all our listeners 20% off your order at CBDMD.com when you use the promo code ESPN975 at checkout. That's CBDMD.com, promo code ESPN975 at checkout.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. George Springer just hit one to the moon. It's now 3-2 in the top of the 10th. And so they've retaken the lead.
Take it back.
They better get three or four runs with this bullpen right now.
Yeah, can't feel good about it.
All right, so the last game that we didn't talk about involves your beloved Houston Texans, 7-point dogs at New Orleans. Pretty high total of 53. I do like the over on this total. But I want to play the Texans, but I don't think I'm going to. Saints usually don't get off to a great start. The Texans are about as healthy as they're going to be all year in terms of having whatever weapons they're going to have. And I feel like they'll go in there and keep it close. I just don't trust them enough. Because in the end, it's going to come down to X's and O's of Sean Payton versus Bill O'Brien.
That's the problem. And when you think about where do the Texans have a real edge, like this is one of the few times where you can't even say you feel like the Texans have a better quarterback. I mean,
I don't know that they have better receivers.
No, I don't know that they're better on defense. I don't know. And I know they're not better at head coach.
Right.
So, to me, I don't want to give a touchdown here with the Saints. I'll probably take a look at the over, but there's no way.
I love Saints overs at home, and I do think the Texans are going to score.
I do too, but there's no way I'm going to be on the Texans plus seven. I can't see it happening.
And this is one where maybe I've just spent too much time this offseason paying way too much attention to everything that's gone on. I'm gonna go back and try to look at it a lot more objectively here. Tomorrow when I go through and do all my hardcore handicapping, maybe I'll land on them, but I doubt it. I just don't trust this team. So he says, I feel really guilty. I took today off to play golf and you guys are working. I'm a lazy SOB.
Yeah.
Dude, you've earned your day off. And we're not really working. We're just talking sports.
I'm working.
Are you?
Working my ass off over here.
Really?
No, not really.
Now your computer's going off. So with AJ, can I please get your thoughts on the Khabib fight?
I love Dustin Poirier. I think that Khabib is going to maul him. He's on a different level. So I think it's going to be a couple rounds of him smothering him, and eventually he'll finish him.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. A couple other college football games that we didn't talk about. Justin Fields looked pretty good in his first start with Ohio State.
Yeah, although I wasn't all that impressed with Ohio State. I thought that they could have been a little bit better, but I mean they took care of business. I don't know what I expect of them with Ryan Day. I'm still not 100% on what they are. Kind of like Michigan, they didn't look as dominant as I expected them to look.
Yeah.
Neither did Ohio State.
It's week one though, and new quarterback. And the other game, which we had on our station because I was listening to it as I ran to the store, Stanford beating Northwestern. I don't know what Stanford is yet either. That game was a lot closer than I wonder if Stanford hasn't just we've seen the peak of Stanford under David Shaw.
Yeah, I wonder if David Shaw messed up not getting out of there when he had the chance, because that guy 2 years ago he was like a hot name. You know, David Shaw was getting he could have gotten a bigger college football job. He could have gotten an NFL job, and I don't know if the shine's off that guy or not. And that's another reason why I don't want anything to do with the Stanford USC game this week, because
yeah.
I don't know where that team is at. It doesn't feel like Stanford is as dangerous as they were a couple years ago, though.
It does seem like that program is slowly eroded. And you're right. I think maybe he should have taken a job when he had the chance. All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. And we still got plenty of stuff that we can get to here. Only two segments left.
Yeah, and I got to tell you about Allstate Siding and Windows. The end of summer sale still going on from Allstate Siding and Windows. And before fall gets here, you need to check that your windows are energy efficient. Invest in some beautiful quality windows and do it with Allstate Siding and Windows. They've got Storm Force windows. You're seeing storms all over the country right now. Storm Force windows designed for impact for all weather, and you can save up to 40% on your energy bills with vinyl windows. Imagine what you could do with that 40%. You're a senior, you're a military, you're a first responder, you get a discount. Okay, I'm none of those things. Well, I'll get you a discount anyway. You tell them AJ Hoffman sent you. 25% off all window packages, no payments for 2 years, just like that. When you want to invest, choose the best. Allstate Siding and Windows, 832-204-1936 or allstatesidingandwindows.com. 832-204-1936 for Allstate Siding and Windows.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we are back on The Blitz. Only two segments left. This was one of the easiest shows we've done in a long time. This was a kind of a no-brainer show. You show up, okay. We knew what we were talking today, and that's about what we lost. That's about what we talked all day was the Clowney situation. We did have some football thrown in there, a little bit of Verlander's no-hitter, but this was a day that, I mean, let's face it, the entire city has been talking about for a month what's going to happen with Jadeveon Clowney, and it finally came to a head, so it was an easy day for us.
Yeah, and it's also easy when, I mean, to me, this thing is so easy to grade. It was just a dumb move. There's no way around it. It was just a dumb move, especially in light of the fact if you're going to go out and get Laremy Tunsil, which yeah. I like that, then you're going for it, then you need this guy this year. And pretty sure if the Seahawks just let him walk, they get a third-round compensation pick,
yeah.
right?
Which is what they gave up to get him.
So it's no risk for them, and the Texans basically just punted on the guy. So 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. And I think we've gotten to most of the important college football stuff. Man, did you see this Kevin Hart accident?
It's crazy.
Man, looks like he's going to be okay, but had surgery. If you didn't see it, he and his wife and somebody else were in, basically their car rolled into a ditch and was pretty severely injured. So hopefully he'll be okay. He's got it's a 1970 Plymouth Barracuda that he was driving around in, which, the driver also suffered injuries, and another passenger was in the car, but she didn't get hurt too bad. So glad he's okay.
Now, you know this is Kevin Hart, right?
Right, right.
You know.
I finally figured it out. If it were Kevin James, I wouldn't
care.
It's
not Kevin James.
If it's Kevin James, he can, you know. Oh, well.
Okay.
Sorry.
Not, you're, I know you've struggled with that before.
Yeah, because I find Kevin James completely unfunny, and I like Kevin Hart a lot. So now that I've got that figured out, it's all good. Took me a few years, though.
Oh, it's all good. Yeah. Did you want to talk? Well, we've got a couple minutes. You want to talk about the boys?
Yeah, let's do it.
Aaron, you had something you wanted to ask me, or you guys had something you wanted to ask me about it. What was your big question?
Well, let Aaron go since he finally watched something.
I don't know if it was something I wanted to ask you. I mean, to me, I like the characters. I like the character development. But if you take Frenchie out of that equation, you're missing a huge chunk of the story and the comedic value of the show. So he might be my favorite character of all of them.
Yeah, I like him too. I thought it's funny when that... I guess spoiler alerts now, right?
Yeah, if you haven't watched it by now, shame on you.
I mean, I hadn't watched it, so
but
it
that's
was on
still
me.
Shame on you.
I mean, but when the I forget her name now, the Asian superhero chick that's with the boys. Either way, when
Kimiko,
yeah,
the girl is what she was for most of it.
When she was going, like when it looked like she died, I was like, that was a giant waste of time and energy to build up that character to be useless. And then, of course, she's like Wolverine.
Yeah.
And she comes back. But, yeah, I thought it was solid. I thought that there were some really dark turns, which I was kind of into. The way it finishes is like, that's for Butcher, that's got to be like the worst possible case scenario.
Yeah, and it changes everything, right?
Yeah.
Because now he didn't kill his wife, and now he's got, Homelander's kid growing up with her. I'm sure she had to sign an NDA, and it's pretty obvious that she was into it. It wasn't rape.
Right.
And isn't Homelander just the most delightful turd ever?
Oh, he's so bad. Well, I mean, he's a good bad guy. The Deep is like the crappiest bad guy.
Yeah, although... Well, let's see. The dolphin scene was my favorite.
It was
favorite.
Funny.
That was the funniest thing in the whole deal, in my opinion.
This black noir character, he's totally useless. I think they just needed him to make up to make it a full number seven.
But he's the one guy that just does whatever he's told, right?
I guess so.
He's not out there. There's no doubt about him. Like the Deep, you kind of look at as okay, he's a real turd from the first episode. Then as his character starts deteriorating. You almost feel sorry for him. I did up until the Gil sex scene. Then I was kind of out. And same thing with A-Train. You kind of almost start feeling a little sorry for him at the end, which I like. It's got some of that Banshee-esque, they're bad guys' butt. And then even the good guys. Then when you find out there was really no reason to blow up the invisible guy,
yeah,
then you feel less sympathetic towards him. So I thought there was just a lot going on with the characters, and I love the way it ended, and I love that there was a holy bleep moment in at least every episode.
Yeah.
So
They are doing a second season.
Yeah, they're already filming.
Yeah, they're filming. Okay. I am really excited. I hope it I hope they don't preacher us on it.
Yeah.
Which I thought last night was going to be the last preacher, and then I watch it and I go, God, there's at least two or three more left.
What?
I can't do it. I can't. Now I have to know how it ends, but that show is just so awful. So that scares me a little bit about this because it's the same guys.
Do you think Annie, the Starlight chick, do you think she's super hot?
Not really. She's not my flavor.
No. What about you, Aaron?
I don't think she's super hot, but she's got that girl next door vibe kind of thing, so I find it attractive.
Yeah, I think I dig it.
I like Maeve better.
Yeah, she's too old. And that's the other thing. Elizabeth Shue's gotten really old.
Yeah.
And why is Homelander like whipped by that? He could get whatever he wants.
Yeah, she's.
He can get Butcher's wife, and she's hot.
Yeah, it took me a while to even figure out that was Elizabeth Shue.
Yeah, oh, yeah. She's
not aged well.
Well.
And, I kind of found her to be pretty gross, to be honest with you.
I don't think, especially if I was like Superman, I wouldn't be into that.
No. But he certainly got off it at the end. No question.
Yeah.
But I thought the ending was awesome. It just and just so many things that have that are set up for next year if they do it right.
Yeah.
So 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. I watched two movies before football started on Saturday. Finally watched Shazam. Not bad.
Yeah.
It's just cute. You know, wasn't a waste of time, but not one where I'm going to go, oh, that was so awesome.
Right.
And then I watched Rocket Man.
I haven't seen that.
Which, as much as I, and I was a little worried because the same guy did Bohemian Rhapsody.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not like Bohemian Rhapsody.
He's figured out a thing to do.
But this one I thought was fantastic.
Okay.
I thought Taron Egerton was great. And it's a musical. Like, they'll go into song and dance on things. And it's just really well done. And they also didn't shy away from the really gritty stuff, which was really important to the movie. And one of the coolest things is I was reading a story about Elton John didn't see it until the premiere. His husband basically was the guy who told him all the stories and did everything. He didn't want to influence it.
Hmm.
And he basically broke down in tears about 5 minutes in, and just, yeah, because there were so many moments that they just nailed. And so he and Taron Egerton basically both break down in tears. And so afterwards, they're walking around, and they go down to the beach, and the two of them start singing duets of his songs. I can't imagine how cool that would have been.
That would be pretty cool.
Because and Egerton did a nice job. He didn't try to sound like Elton John. He just sang the songs with his voice, and some of them sounded like him. And I just thought, I really enjoyed it. And I wasn't the big Elton John fan like I was Queen.
So maybe you weren't as personally attached to the story.
Yeah, but I do feel like I think it was really well done. And if you're at all interested in him, it's pretty cool. And it's like every single rock and roller. There's the, you know, sudden rise to fame. Then there's the descent into drugs and alcohol, right, and everything else. And then the rise back after you've hit rock bottom and been screwed over by everybody who works with you and all that stuff. So it's a very familiar story, but I just think the way it's done was really cool. And the first scene hooked me. I'll say that. So check it out. I think you'll enjoy it.
I want to check it out.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. I have nothing else now in the queue except football.
And I think I'm starting Yellowstone tonight.
Oh, good. Yeah, you need to get caught up in that. I thought that, I tell you what, season two, greater than season one.
That's what, you're not the only person I've heard say that.
Much more violent this season.
I like that.
I do too. And I like the way it ended. I don't think they need to do a season three. They're already going to do one. But I feel like if they end it the way they end it, well, when you see it, I thought it was a perfect ending. So,
I would say, hey, man, bleep that, but it's not Wednesday. Did you see
it's
that
not
there's
Tuesday either?
Oh yeah, Tuesday. Did you see that there's people in Florida who say they're gonna, like, people who live on boats who say they're gonna ride out the hurricane on their boats?
Yeah, it's Florida. What'd you expect?
And they're like, oh, we're just gonna strap down at the docks, remove all the canvas coverings, and just hope for the best.
Yeah, and when they find you in Miami.
Yeah. It's like mandatory evacuations. Yes. And these people who live on the water are just like, no. I'm gonna.
Why don't you just go up the coast someplace safe?
Yeah.
If you live on the water, your boat, I assume your boat works.
Well, dummies.
That thing looks bigger and worse every time.
Dude, that's a crazy storm.
Yeah. Somebody says, fun fact, Butcher's wife on The Boys, Chantel Van Santen, is a local Houston girl, grew up in Spring.
Nice. Hot chick.
Yeah, she's attractive. No question.
All right, guys. Got to tell you about Carboctoberfest, September 19th through October 6th. 3 weekends of free fun, Thursday through Sunday, every week. They're going to have stein hoisting competitions, oompa bands, wiener dog races, free live music. It's just going to be a fantastic time. You got to go out. If you haven't been out before, you got to get out there. The beer's always great, of course. And it's just good, fun family time, and it's free. I mean, you can't beat that. And then Sunday, November 10th, I had a couple people ask me about it this weekend. What's going on with Ace Frehley? He's playing Foam Hinge. Eddie Trunk's going to host, and the lineup is Ace Frehley, Accept, High on Fire, Power Trip, Pat Travers Band, and Narcotic Wasteland. Tickets are $28. VIP is $100. CarbockBrewing.com to purchase tickets today. And if you haven't made it out to the restaurant, great time to do it, man. Get out there, try some of that food, and the food pairs perfectly with the great beer that they've got on the wall there at Carbach. And some of the stuff that you can get at Carbach, you can only get at Carbach. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to find out everything going on with the concert series, the brewery, with the restaurant, and then pick up your favorite Carbach beer today, or just ask your bartender to please make it a Carbach.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Your Astros win it 3-2. Josh James closing it out. It's funny, I was looking at my Houston trends on Twitter. Number one, Osuna. Number two is something called Steven Universe, the movie. I don't know what that is. Number three, Josh James. Number four is Things We Should Cancel, which, okay, whatever. And number five, Houston versus Milwaukee. Those are your trends.
People are interested in the Astros, you're saying.
Yeah, at least on Twitter. But, yeah, all right, let's do a dumbass report.
Let's start with an evangelical leader by the name of Tony Perkins. You familiar with him? Head of the Family Research Council?
I am not.
He had something to say after the mass shooting in Midland this week. Basically that the root of these mass shootings is we've driven God from the public square, and specifically we've been teaching the kids too much science. We've taught our kids that they come about by chance through primordial slime, and then we're surprised they treat their fellow Americans like dirt. I think we have to go back to the point where we instill in these children, at least give them the opportunity to know that they're created in the image of God, therefore they have an inherent value. Perkins also claimed it's impossible to have morality without religion. And he said that the teachings of evolution are the worst thing that's happened to the American public. So that if you're looking for, we don't need gun control. We just need to not teach kids about evolution, and it'll all be okay.
That'll solve everything. It's almost as bad as the video games thing.
Yeah, there's no, I mean, come on,
you've
guys
driven God from the world. I'm pretty sure if there were a God out there, you couldn't drive him from the world.
Yeah.
He'd pretty much go where he wants and do what he wants, right? Theoretically.
Let's imagine for a minute that you're a Middle Eastern man, Fred, and you go to Starbucks and order a drink.
Okay. Probably wouldn't go to Starbucks because I think Starbucks is vastly overrated. But
okay. Right. Well, let's just say you are, and they ask your name, and you tell them Aziz.
Okay.
And then you get your coffee, and about 20 minutes later, as you finish your coffee, you look down at the cup, and they, instead of putting Aziz, they put ISIS. Intentional? Not intentional.
Intentional.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely.
But can you play it off as unintentional if you're Starbucks?
Yeah, you can try.
Because it's close enough, right?
But, you know, that's intentional.
Starbucks.
That's why I always go with Abdullah.
Starbucks says they believe it was a mistake and not discrimination. However, the incident did occur in Philadelphia, the same city where two black men were handcuffed and arrested for sitting in a Starbucks without ordering. So they went through a lot of sensitivity training this year, and maybe not the most sensitive moment there, writing ISIS instead of Aziz.
Mm. Not wise, guys.
My wife always says she wants to own chickens.
Really?
I don't know why. And she buys the fanciest eggs. Like, these eggs live in a, these chickens live in a lap of luxury, and they apparently make better eggs. I don't know. They all taste like eggs to me, but she wants to get her own chickens, but we live in a, you know, in a subdivision where the homeowners association doesn't let you have chickens. A woman has been killed by her own rooster after the animal attacked her while she was collecting eggs. The elderly victim was in her pet's coop, and the rooster attacked her. It punctured one of her varicose veins with its beak before the victim bled to death. Her name and age have been withheld to avoid further trauma to the family. But it says the shocking incident has since sparked a public warning about harmless animals can still kill. Yeah. Roosters are mean. Like there's
oh yeah, there's fighting roosters.
Yeah, I used to live in Louisiana. I used to go to the chicken fights.
Yeah, yeah. I remember they used to have that place right across the border, not too far from Delta Downs. That I don't know, it was even about 15 years ago, I think it was still open.
And finally, a Greensboro, North Carolina couple is upset because when the bus driver got to his end of the end of the route, there was still a kid on his bus. So what did he do? Kick the kid off at a random stop. First grader, get off the bus. You're not supposed to be on here anymore. And the parents are thankful that their six-year-old daughter, Layla, is okay. But this could, they said, this could be a totally different interview right now. How she explained it, how he said it, he just said, go. She's 6 years old, and she's getting off the bus. She was about three blocks from her house, but she didn't know where she was. She was nervous and crying. And then an act of kindness, they say, a stranger who happened to be a security guard just getting off work spotted her, ran up to her and said, hey, are you the police? I'm lost. I don't know where I am. And the bus driver just told me to get off the bus. He said, go. And she found someone in uniform, which I guess is pretty smart.
Yeah, that's better than just pure stranger danger.
And the parents are hailing the security guard as a hero, and they want answers from the school district, which it's always iffy. Like, school districts, I see sometimes they're, like, the school bus drivers are part of the district, and sometimes they're, like, contracted out because school bus drivers aren't always, like, the most upstanding humans.
Right.
And the school's like, maybe we don't want to put our stamp on these guys. But, yeah, not a good move to just kick a first grader off random spot. And that is the Dumbass Report.
All right. By the way, Chris Campisi does a great job on the Astros. That story was up the second the game was over.
Nice.
Astros 3-2 win. So go check Sports Map out for that. And Norman Chad's column debuted today. Very funny. It's exactly as I remembered it, so stoked to have him on board. It's going to wrap it up. Really good.
Late hits.
Coming up next with Patrick Creighton, Jason Braddock, Abdul Foster. Check them out. I'm sure, I know from Twitter, Patrick has some very strong opinions on the Texans. I'd be interested. Jason, too.
He's fired up.
Yeah. At the end of the day, stay sportsy, bitches.